always good to be here. Whereas one fellow said, at this age, it's good to be anywhere. But in the house of the Lord, particularly, even though it's Father's Day, it's still good to be here. And as Dan just said, the wife and I celebrating 52 years. Doesn't seem like it. We just signed up for 50 more. I told her I'll be there. I'll be there if she will. I believe I can make it too. I believe I'm in good shape. Believe I can make it. All right, let's turn in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And let's look at the honesty of the Father. The honesty of the Father. And a good father is a good man. A good father is a good man. And this is how God has so designed it. That when children see their father, they see a replica of God himself. And that's the way it's intended to be. In a home where the wife is in a loving relationship with the husband, the father, and the wife submits to the husband as the husband submits to the wife, it's like unto the Godhead. The Lord submits to the Father willingly, not because it's a superior versus inferior kind of status. Don't get that in your head. Woman is equal to the man. No question about that. But the man is the first in priority. That's the way God has so designed it. He is the first among equals. Otherwise, God would have made them at the same time. He didn't. The woman was not created when God gave Adam the marching orders to dress it and to keep it. Warned him. The garden is all yours. Decorate it. Refurnish it. Replenish. Do what you will with it. But when I come back, I want to find it intact. And Eve was not created. And the devil knew that. That if there was a weak link in this chain, it would be with the woman. That's why he approached her and not the man. And she was deceived. Adam wasn't. There's two kinds of major deceptions. There's the kind of willful deception that Adam embraced. Then the kind of deception where a person is indeed tricked, deceived, blindsided. And that was the case with Eve. Nevertheless, God called Adam on the carpet first. Adam, where are you? He wasn't from the south. He didn't say, Adam, where are y'all? No. Adam, where are you? I left you in charge. I left you with the responsibility. Now you are accountable first. And nothing has changed, by the way. That pattern still exists. Still exists. Nothing has changed. And in this story, beginning with verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And the Lord will bless the reading, hearing, and heeding of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. A son once said to his father, why have we switched religions? We're not Lutheran, we're Jewish. His dad said, because attending this church is good for business. We'll make contracts and contacts we could make at the synagogue. We'll rub shoulders with the right kinds of people in this community. Good business, boy. The boy later testified that that was the day that he lost all respect for his father. The boy later started visiting museums and began to formulate new ideas and began putting them down in the form of a book. A book which contained a whole new world vision. He conceived of a movement which he believed could change the world, to free the world from what he perceived to be, quote, the problem of religion. The young man's name was Karl Marx, the father of communism. And it all started the day he lost respect for his father. A woman went online to a computer dating service and said she didn't care about looks, income, or background. All she wanted was a man, upright in character. Then a man joined in online and stated the only thing he was seeking was a woman with intelligence. The service immediately matched them together, because they had one thing in common. They were both compulsive liars. What we need today, even among Christians, is honesty. Here was a man in our text who was honest about his son. You don't see this today in Christian circles. First of all, he came to the Lord in the right fashion. He kneeled, meaning he worshiped, just like in Matthew 8. The leper came, not making a request. He broke all rules and ranks of the game because he didn't come saying, unclean, unclean. No, he busted right in and he fell down and worshiped. And then he made his request. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, it's up to you. This is not a labor management struggle. It's up to you. You can do it. You know what my need is. It's obvious. I've been ostracized in my home, my job, my family. I can't go back home. I can't work. I can't do anything. But I'm going to worship you first. And I'm going to leave it in your hands. Period. If you will, you can make me clean. The Lord said, I will. And immediately, that's a picture of salvation. As soon as you trust the Lord Jesus, immediately your leprosy of sin is cleansed. Then there came another man, a centurion, had 100 people working for him. Gentile, mind you. Gentile. Came to the Lord, same way. And he said, Lord, letting the Lord know, you're Lord of my life. Before I begin to ask, see, this is what John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. You better get a hold of the person who takes away the sin of the world. But you make sure you recognize who he is before you can appreciate what he's done. Because if you can't appreciate who he is, what he did won't mean anything to you. Many men died on the cross, but no one died like he died because no one lived like he lived. Lord, my servant lieth at home grievously ill with the palsy. And the Lord said, I'll come and heal. The man said, no, you won't. I don't need a demonstration of what you know. I don't need you coming. In fact, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof. I know you can settle this matter right where you stand, right here, right now. Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. The Lord marveled. And there's only two times the Lord ever marveled about anything. Now, when you can get the Lord to marvel, you've done something. He marveled in Matthew 8. And he marveled in Mark 6:6. He marveled at the belief of a Gentile. And he marveled at the unbelief of Jews. That's why they didn't like him. Never have I found such faith. No, not among you Jews. Woo! See, the Lord has never had any respect to persons. Wherever he's found faith, he's commended it. Whether it's Jew or Gentile. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Doesn't end there. But as many, how many? As many! Doesn't make any difference about the number. That's why I don't get into numbers. I don't like to hear people saying it was just a few people. It was all that God intended to be there. All that God intended to be here right now, they're here. I don't worry about those who are not here. They're the losers. Forget that. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's why when the Lord said that the multitude, if had man wrote the Bible, he'd have told you exactly the number that was there. No, the multitude. That's all you need to know. Great multitude. That's all you need to know. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And so here, this man, kneeling down to him, that means worship first. Worship before service. That's what we have here. Some people want to serve, but they don't want to worship. That's not the pattern in the scriptures. Worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. That was to the devil. How much more should it be to you and me? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. This man did it right again, didn't he? Then verse 2, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's crazy. Now, the Bible tells us in Luke that this was his only son. Not too many fathers are willing to admit, hey, okay, Curtis, pray for my son. He's crazy. What's wrong? He's crazy. That's all you need to say. Be honest about it. He's a lunatic. He's crazy. We asked the fellow, how's your boy? I knew him when they were coming up. His kids. Haven't seen him in, just like here at Curtis, where this place used to be packed to the door. Where are these kids at? I asked him, where's the kids? Oh, how are they doing? Oh, they're doing great. One just graduated magnum cum laude from Michigan. Another one came out of Northwestern the other day. They're doing good. One's an electrical engineer. One's a doctor. One has a PhD in mathematics and working for a Fortune 500 company. How are your kids? They're going to hell. Pray for them. You should have said that at first. See, we want to dress our kids up. We want to make others feel they're doing fine as long as they're doing fine economically, educationally, socially, culturally, but spiritually, nah. This father was honest. Are you? Pray for my boy. He's my only child, but he's crazy. Ah, now. Now we're getting somewhere. Some of you need to get there. Pray for my brother. He's a Muslim. I thought when the Lord gave me his stroke a few months ago it did do a little good. Boy, when I begin to zero in on him, to let him know God could have taken you. And you're not ready to see mother. And you will not see mother again unless you accept the Lord. Muhammad can't do it. Allah can't do it because there is no, there where they are, they can't help themselves.
Boy, he looked at me as if to say, if I could, I'd kill you for saying that. But I had him just where I wanted him. But you know something? I'm seeing a change. Gradually, I'm seeing a change. Now he's fallen in love with the 23rd Psalms. He said, boy, that's some kind of shepherd. I said, yeah, now you're talking. We've got to lay it out before the Lord. You got a brother, you got a mother, you got a father, you got a sister, you got that needs the Lord. Well, tell the Lord. You can jive us. You can say unspoken requests. Okay, fine. That's good. Some things should be spoken only to the Lord himself. But there are times when you need to lay it on the line. That I've got a brother, I've got a mother, I've got a father. He's crazy. He's got a sickness that no psychiatrist can deal with. This is here it is right here. It's a lunatic. Wacky. We wouldn't dare say that if we had only one child, would we? And that's maybe why the child isn't doing any better than he's doing. But this father here, no. Remember the prodigal son? You know the story, the real story of the prodigal son? Very few people know. You know what the real story is? It wasn't the young boy going out to the hawk's pen and getting involved in riots. Ah, you missed the whole point. Now the elder son was in the field. When he heard the sound of the music and the dance, he called one of his servants and asked him what he's saying. Your brother has come. Your father's killed for him the fatted calf. He's received him safe and sound. And he was mad. That's the story. That's the story. Why? Because it opens in confrontation. It closes in confrontation. It opens. The scribes getting saved, Pharisees, Sadducees murmuring. Why? Because people were getting saved. It closes with an elder son being mad and upset. Why? Because his brother got saved. It opens with a sheep that was lost coming home. It opens with a coin that was lost being found. And it closes with a son that was lost and coming home. But there was contention. There was confusion. Why? That elder son wanted no part. Why? He had the spirit of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in that boy. Many years do I serve you. I didn't contend with you at all. As soon as this your son, not my brother, as soon as this your son has come, but it's devouring his living with harlots. How did he know he was devouring his living with harlots? Unless he was in the next apartment. He has devoured his living with harlots, and you killed for him. Son, all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. This your brother was lost and is found. He's dead and he's alive again. Come on in, let's rejoice.
Wouldn't know. Wouldn't move. I wonder how many people God would send 50 people to Curtis this morning and 10 would come down to get saved. I wonder, would we have 10 people to stay behind a couple hours to minister to them? I wonder. I don't think we would have that many at Grace. So I sometimes wonder, what are we doing here? We're not sincere about this thing. Are we ready to really rejoice when God gets ready to move in this place? Son is crazy, sore vexed. Oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples and they could not hear it. Some things you have to take to the Lord alone. Period. One God, one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. True story. My grandfather was born into slavery. And although my mother and my father lived during an era when physical slavery had been abolished, they also lived in a newer, more sophisticated kind of slavery, that kind that President Lincoln struck down. My parents were married in 1909, and my father worked on a plantation for $12 a month. My mother encouraged him to confront his boss and ask for a better deal. Since the boss didn't want to lose him, the boss agreed to let my father become a half cropper. That means that instead of working for a flat sum, he would get half the profits from whatever they produced from the earth. My father began to make more money and to provide a better living for us and the family, my mother and five kids. 6 months after I was born in 1919, my father told my mother he was going to visit his brother in Texas. I learned as a grown man he had been complaining that he was tired of farming. He had been spending an increasing amount of time away from home. My mother was afraid that my father would not one day come back, and her fears were justified. Later, she learned he had left home indeed and gone away with the neighbor's wife. To this day, I have no idea what became of my father. Later, when I became aware of how much my mother had to endure alone, I could only think of him with bitterness. He too may have been a victim of oppression, but he had no right to desert my mother and five of us kids. With the good Lord's help, I was determined to be just the opposite of him and make my mother proud. Signed, Jackie Robinson. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And it's interesting that the devil, the demon, would take this child and try to destroy him by fire and by water. These are the two things, even till this day, that children generally perish by. Drowning. And this is why during the summertime you have to be very careful in watching your children around swimming pools. They have a propensity to gravitate towards water for some reason. And all of us sitting here right now have played with matches. If you say no, you're lying. I almost burnt the house down when I was a kid. We all play. There's a fascination with fire, fascination with water. The two things that God has destroyed the world with water and will destroy the world with fire. There's a spiritual message. A spiritual message that can be taught and should be taught early to our children. There's true story. Slave girl. Abraham Lincoln went to a slave market. There he noted a beautiful African-American woman being auctioned off to the highest offer. He bid on her and won. He could see the anger in the young woman's eyes and could imagine what she was thinking. Another white man will buy me, use me, and then discard me. As Lincoln walked off with his property, quote unquote, he turned to the woman and said, "You're free." "Yes." "What does that mean?" she replied. "It means that you are free." "Does it mean I can say whatever I want to say?" "Yes," replied Lincoln, smiling. "It means you can say whatever you want to say." "Does it mean," she asked incredulously, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does it mean," the young woman said hesitatingly, "that I can go wherever I want to go?" "Yes." "It means that you are free and you can go wherever you want to go." Then said the woman with tears welling up in her eyes, "I think I'll go with you." That's what God does for us. It is what the Christian faith is all about. We have been bought with a price. Price of God's own dear son. We have a new father. We have a new master who has paid the price to set us free. Do you realize that you're free? The Lord never twists our arm. He never does a hard sell on us. He simply sets us free. Lets us decide what we will do with that freedom. The question each of us must ask, will we turn and walk away, as many did in his time? Or will we as a slave girl say, "I'll go with you"? So if the Son shall set you free, you're free. You're free indeed to serve a new master, to have a new father. There was a certain blind lady ...30 years old. She hated herself just because she was blind and questioned God's goodness. None seemed to care for her except her caring, loving boyfriend. Through her many crises and ordeals, he was always there for her. She said on many occasions, quote, "If I could only see the world, the first thing I would do is marry my caring, loving boyfriend." One day her prayers were answered. Someone donated a pair of eyes to her, and she rejoiced, "Whoa! Now for the first time I can see. I can see everything, including my caring, loving boyfriend." She grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him and shouted, "I can see, I can see. Thank God I can see. Honey, I can see. You look so handsome." And then he asked her, "Now that you can see the world, now that you can see everything, now that you can see me, let's set a date and get married." She looked at him with amazement, for she was shocked when she saw that he was blind also, and said, "What? You can't see? Oh, I'm sorry. Can't marry a blind man." Tears welled up in his eyes as he took his cane, made his way to the door. See? He later wrote a letter to her stating just 6 words. "Dan, take care of my eyes, dear. The greatest sin in the world is the rejection of the greatest love. The Lord Jesus gave his life. You and I might not only see, but that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The greatest blindness in the world today is not physical, but spiritual." Father, we thank you for what you've said and are saying. And we know your word is true, that if we could see, we are still blind. But once we become blind, blind to this world, blind to the lures and temptations of this world, blind to all but thee, then we'll be able to see. The songwriter has it right. "Once was blind, but now I see." We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We make much of him because at Calvary he made much of us. Help us, Lord, not to be ingrates and take for granted such great love that you have lavished upon us. Grant it so, for Christ's sake.